We are back sharper than ever. How are you, Alexander?
I'm great, Mom. I really hope that heard well.
Were you playing right there? That sounds pretty amazing.
Some Icaros from some Shipibo shamans.
Icaros, which is
Icaros.
And an Icaro is like the music or the sound?
Yeah.
And from
What do you mean?
What kind of shamans?
Shipibo
shaman.
I might be saying that wrong. I don't know how to say it correctly.
I think you're saying it right. It's Shapibo. Shipibo. And they're a certain, I don't know, are they a race? What would you call them? Not a race, but a certain.
It's Aboriginal culture.
Aboriginal culture.
In Peru. Or I'm not sure. Maybe not just in Peru, but I don't know.
And I guess what I know about Icaros is that they play these, in Peru, it's very common for people to partake in ayahuasca ceremonies, which ayahuasca, we talked about this a while back, is a plant that comes from the jungle. It's a hallucinogen.
Ayahuasca is a brew of different plants.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it is a brew of different plants. But some of the plants, actually, it's called the spirit plant because it's said to...
The vine of the soul?
I'm sorry, the vine of the soul. You're messing it up. The vine of the soul, and what it does, it literally is a direct connection to the soul where people are said to, it's not always a pretty experience because you're really forced to go within and
look
at
that purging.
Yeah, you start purging. Some people throw up. Some people have the best experience where they see themselves as one and as whole. And while they're having these ceremonies in order to help them through their, because this potion, whatever you want to call it, has been used to help with depression, has been used to help with
addiction,
cancer.
So much.
There's a lot of studies on it right now, and what it does is it helps not only heal, but all just see yourself as complete and whole. And when you're going through this process, because you take the medicine, there's a lot of documentaries on Netflix that you can watch. Our favorite one, what was it called? The one that we watched on ayahuasca.
Just ayahuasca.
Yeah.
It was called Ayahuasca Vine of the Soul. That's one documentary on Netflix. Another one is Neurons to Nirvana. It's about just a lot of psychedelics, actually, and just talking about the medicinal benefits of all of them.
And maybe you don't even need healing. Maybe you're trying to, you're a seeker, you're on a spiritual path, or maybe not, you don't call it spiritual. You could be an atheist who's just trying to find answers to life. It is said to lift the veil that blocks us all living from this, living as humans in this three-dimensional world and not really seeing the truth of who we are. Because everyone says, and everywhere you read, especially in religion or spiritual books, it talks about, you know, the divinity that we are, but none of us really do believe it. And so this lifts the veil. And while they're doing these ceremonies, these Icaros, the shamans actually compose them and they sing them to the people that are going through these ceremonies to help them.
Yeah, and they help them. And actually, before the ceremony even starts, the person usually talks to that shaman to communicate with them, like, what they're going through and, like, what exactly they're facing, so that shaman could implement that into the inside of Icaros and help them, heal them. Like, it modifies their own cure for that certain human being.
And we're talking about this because there is a correlation here. There's a connection. And this is why we started with this. And we're going to get into that a little bit later, why we're bringing this up. But I want to talk about first Geronimo. Geronimo is one of my favorite words. It's the title of our podcast right now. And I want to explain to you all one more time why I love this word. But literally, Geronimo means, you know, when you're ready to jump off, usually skydivers or people that were doing some adrenaline heavy activities, as they're ready to just take the plunge, they scream Geronimo. For us, Geronimo means it's a miracle almost, because we were driving back from a very stressful situation and we were literally just talking about spirit and about God and miracles and how sometimes we look at challenges.
With we, it was you and my dad.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was me and my husband, Alex, not just me and him. We were taking a little road trip to take care of business. But the situation was not that good. And I was trying to convince Alex, you know, that we're not seen through the eyes of wisdom. We're only seen through the eyes of a human ego that sees a challenge, which all of us do, and there's true wisdom when you're able to kind of transcend that and not see something as a challenge and instead see it as an opportunity to grow and to evolve and to say, I've gotten out of so many things before, why not this time, right? So we were saying that, and then at the same time, the song came on, Geronimo, and at the same time, in the middle of nowhere, Arizona, we're driving by, in a building, literally, the store is called Geronimo. So the song came out at the same time, and we were like tempted to look to the side, and sure, and it was right there. The synchronicity was insanity, and at the fact that we were talking about faith and about seeing through the eyes of wisdom. And on that, we're speeding, and there was a cop in front, so we slowed down because we're freaking out. We were like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening. So we didn't get a ticket, so that's pretty good. I don't know if we would have gotten one. But just, you know, we take coincidences and signs from the universe, and we don't even pay attention to them. And we don't – people look at coincidence nowadays, and they don't even care. Like, they'll forget about the stuff that happened, the miracles, little or small, that happened, because we're so stuck and caught up in the day-to-day that there's no time to actually sit and just be in the divinity and the grace that source is, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, atheist, if you don't believe in God, then whatever it is that's bringing these crazy coincidences to you. Because this weekend, we went to the Chopra Center. Well, I did. You guys came and hung out at the beautiful Omni Resort. How did you guys like that?
Oh, my, it was fantastic. So.
Yeah. Can I just tell you that the Chopra Center really puts on, like, the best thing in the world? Like, talk about just, you know, complete attention to detail, being in the present moment, understanding that seekers are there trying to find their way. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And the event was called Weekend Within. And I'm a planner. I don't know about you. When you're going to go somewhere, do you like to research stuff, or are you kind of like spontaneous and just go?
Just go with the flow.
And I know who you are. I just asked this question for our audience. Yes. And typically I do just go with the flow, but there's something inside of me. I don't know if it's my Capricorn or whatever you want to call it, that I kind of want to take control of the situation and wants to know everything. But with this trip, I didn't, because I had so much other stuff in my mind. By the way, this was my biggest dream come true. How many times did I tell you I wanted to go to the Chopra Center?
You always did.
Every single day, every single day. And it was just something that was manifested. And when I finally got there, I was still going through some, I was very tired because we had just traveled that day, and I was still not fully in my present moment. And I asked myself, you know, this is the thing that you always ever wanted, and now you're here and you're still the same person. So right at the beginning of the event, and this is an event where they teach you about primordial meditation, which I'll talk about a little bit right now, yoga, and just going within. And there's a keynote speaker too that talks, and Deepak Chopra himself speaks. I mean, I just thought that when he walked in the room, I was probably going to faint and just fall all over the place, because I'm his biggest fan. But then I realized, you know, why are you being so bitter? This is what you always wanted. And there was a lot of reflection that started happening to me within that first day. Why are you anxious? Why are you worried? Everything's happening perfectly. It was like that little mode of self-sabotage. I don't know if you ever hear that head in your, that little voice in your head.
Constantly in there.
It's constantly in there. And I came to just a big realization that wherever I go, even if I went to my most ultimate dream vacation and everything was settled, I was financially free, you know, everything there, I didn't have to worry about nothing. And I went, I would still be unhappy if I was not happy with myself. So it started very powerful in the way that I got to really understand that, you know what, Veronica, your biggest dream is coming true right in front of your eyes. You know, you're living it. You're in this beautiful resort with beautiful people. The energy is insane, and you're receiving this beautiful gift, and you're still not all there. What the hell is going on with you? So I had to take some time to really reflect on that, and then I realized, you know, wherever I go, I'm going to be with me. So I can't keep chasing the studies or whatever, which are still great. Believe me, I had a huge energy shift, but I have to always be happy and okay with who I am already. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. See yourself where you're at that certain moment. Move from there. Don't try to pretend that you're something that you're not.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, there's so many people that get so caught up in religion and they become like slaves to it, you know, or even spirituality, or even...
Or positivity, this new age positivity outlook that everything is all like rainbows and unicorns, and that's only how it is.
Exactly.
Instead of seeing how it is and work from it from there.
But there's a couple of things with that. Number one is you can go to every freaking spiritual event, but if you don't practice what you preach, because guess what? Life is still going to throw you challenges, what you see as challenges, because you don't always get what you want, because there's always a higher purpose. And when you don't get what you want, it's an opportunity for you to grow. The number two thing is that one of the speakers was Panache Desai, and I had really not done a lot of work on him. Talk about high-level speaking. I'll get into that. But it's not necessarily, it wasn't just the fact that, it's not just the fact that you're not, how do I put it? This man was incredible. The words that came out of his mouth, I always wanted to be a great public speaker. I'll go here first. I always wanted to be a great public speaker. But this man, it's not about what the words he's saying. It's about the energy, how he's changing the entire room. And how is he changing the entire room? Because he's connected to this divinity, to this source, to his true self. He loves himself so much that you should have seen his gaze. It just went through the room, and I just cried and cried and cried as he explained the truth of who I was.
He was just like an outlet of unconditional love.
Yes, and the reason I bring this up, and I'm glad you said this, an outlet, because he also says this, that the age of the guru is coming to an end, that we are now awakening, and let me tell you, enlightenment and awakening is not a beautiful process where all of a sudden you see light and you're like this and that. A lot of people make that a goal. Let me tell you, enlightenment is a destructive process. It's undoing what you thought was true and removing the illusion. So it is a destructive process. You know, out of chaos comes order. Things fall apart so that new things can come into fruition, right?
Destruction of your conditioning?
Yes, you have to go through that in order to really uncover the truth of who you are. But I loved what he said, and it's in one of the YouTube videos too. He said that, you know, the age of the guru is also coming to an end. You know, he has no plans of where he's going to speak tomorrow. He just lives. He's being. He has two beautiful twin little girls, super cute. He's from London, but he grew up in a very spiritual Indian family, but also went through his own Armageddon, you know, alcohol, drugs, and stuff like that, because he was being pretty much, his conditioning was not allowing him to be who he was. But what he's saying is that the age of the guru is coming to an end. We're realizing all of us are going through our own Armageddon, our own inner revolution. The reason you see chaos and stuff around the world is because the things, all the systems that are not working, they're coming to the light. And all of them are going to come to the light in order for them to dissolve. So don't be afraid. You know, it's our own personal inner revolution. And because a lot of us are waking up and saying, why are we eating this? Why are we being told that this is the way to go as far as medicine? Why are we being told that this and that? Because that's happening, we're realizing that as much as we seek outside of us and we try to be, or not even be, we just worship Buddha, we worship Jesus Christ, we worship all, you know, the real lesson, and Deepak Chopra said this in his thing, was not for us to worship them. The real lesson was for us to be like them or more, you know? So you don't need a guru. You don't need anyone to teach you. I love that he said this, because this is a man who's selling books, who's selling appearances, who's selling all of this. He says, he's telling you, it's in you. And he shifts your energy just speaking to him, even Deepak, especially Deepak, are you kidding me? Your energy shifts. There's something that I cannot tell you. Have you ever heard of Reiki? Reiki energy?
No, I haven't.
It's a balancing of your body. And this is the great thing about the Chopra Center. There's a lot of scientific proof, and there's a lot of Deepak completely scientific, explains your body. But also, there's that divinity in that source that's creating, you know, that thing that nobody can explain, not even Einstein, right? And Panache was saying the same thing, but in a very spiritual form of way, of really telling us the truth of who we are. So whatever journey any one of you guys are going through, you know, my only hope it would be for everybody in the world to experience something like what I went through, you know? And I think eventually it will start happening. One of the key things that they gave us was a primordial meditation. I don't think you've ever heard of that one before. I hadn't heard about it, did you?
I don't think I have, no.
And it's teachers that are especially trained for this. So you there is no worksheet you can get online. But what it is it's a math calculation. They take the time, date, and also your place of birth. And then what they do is they calculate, and only they know how, because it's through teachers.
How did they get that knowledge from?
Well, he went, they learned it from the Vedic tradition, and they met with several other meditations. So it is information. I think I understand, you know,
it's a lineage of knowledge that she gets passed on.
Yes.
by the family you're born into?
No, it is something Vedic that's very, but it is not something that's open and not anyone can calculate
it. I don't know about that. Secrets and spirituality is just like, all right, why? Why is that even necessary? Wouldn't you want to put everything out in the front and like anything that you would help you and transform you? Wouldn't they want you to spread this information to everyone?
And I do see that, but I also see, because I went through it in the process,
yeah.
I see how also somebody who knows this information would try to protect it. And here's what I mean by protect it. It doesn't mean like, oh, getting the wrong hands,
right,
or whatever. What I mean is that there's a respect, and it's a beauty. Like the day that you receive your primordial sound meditation, which, by the way, you use to meditate, then afterwards, every single day, you know, I'm doing it every single day for 25 minutes using my, and I can't tell anyone what my personal mantra is. A mantra is something that you repeat over and over. And the reason I think that they do it is also to protect the sacredness of it. Because I think that a lot of the times, I feel like humanity, we're still a very young race. Like Panache says, you know, the reason that all of this is crazy is because we're a young race that's learning to evolve. We haven't even hit the max of what we could even do, you know. We're just a race that's evolving and learning how to be here. And I feel like if it just be out there just for anyone, there would be no respect for it, and there would be no true work for it. You know, it's almost like when someone gives you something so freely and easily, you probably, most of the time, you don't appreciate it.
You end up taking it for granted.
You take it for granted. So it's a sacred thing. It's somebody. And also, I feel like the Chopra Center was a school for people that really were born for this calling. You know, I'm not saying that I'm better or higher than anyone. There's like the movie Divergent, where everybody had their roles. Some people are super intelligent. Some people are super great business people. Some people are great at whatever you want to call it, right? Physical. Some people are great scholars or whatever. And some people have all of everything. But to me, it's like the way I see it. And one day when I start my healing center, of course I have to charge. And there's nothing wrong with making money. You know, the two things that Deepa's grandma told him was wisdom, seek wisdom and abundance always, and never be ashamed. Never be ashamed to make money. And I think that the way it's done, it's for the right people who are ready to hear the message. Because even if you don't have the money, you will get there. You know that. And you know that. If you have none of the money, there's contests you can enter, you know, all of that stuff, you can go. So I don't want to hear it, you know? It's not the truth. So I feel like if it's for you, then you should have been there. You know, for me, it manifested extremely easily because it was in my vibration. It was something that I needed to manifest and live through. And I'm telling you now, I know my primordial sound meditation, which is the sound that the universe made apparently when I was born, at the time out I was born. And now I just practice that for 25 minutes. And it's a beautiful practice of asking, you know, what's my purpose? What am I grateful for? Who am I? Asking those four questions and then going deep, deep into just repeating your mantra and calming your mind. And it's been very difficult for me. Because meditation for me, I love like the guided visualizations. I always go on YouTube. I always say this, but this is silent, and you always do silent.
Yeah.
And I never started with silent. So for me, it's hard. I'm not telling you, I'm not kidding you. In the middle of the freaking meditation, it feels like the middle, but I don't know. I'm dying. I'm like, oh my God, when is this going to be over? When is this going to be over? And we had to do so much meditation. We were there at the retreat. We did at least 2 meditations per day, 30 minutes, plus yoga, which yoga is another big thing. You know, there's a science behind it. There's a 7 laws of yoga that Deepak also wrote, 7 spiritual laws of success that he wrote as well. There was a lot of talk on really understanding your body, what you are. We learned about doshas, which are believed to be the 3 primordial energies within each of our bodies. So there's a lot of science that was behind it. I can't even begin to tell you so much of the things that shifted within me just from the people that were there. There was a lot of hugging, crying with strangers, but yet, you know, I thought, and as I looked around the room, man, all these souls are, you know, we came together for this, you know, the huge celebration of life. There was a lot of surrendering, of looking at the kleshas, which are the 5 causes of suffering. There was a lot of acceptance and just simply being, you know. So it's just, how could you ever put a price on that? You know, if you're looking to invest and you're looking to really invest in yourself and in your inner peace, then this is the way to go. I mean, these kind of things, because guess what? Once you find that, everything else doesn't matter and everything else falls into place perfectly. I'm not telling you because I've had my challenges this week coming back and I was like, who am I going to be? What am I going to do? I had a major upset today, major upset. And I thought, yeah, I had a major upset with things that should have done in the real estate world that didn't happen. But I thought, if I do not practice what I've been taught, then I'm a loser. Then I could pay $50 million to Jesus Christ himself to come down from this whatever he is, and I still am not going to learn. So practice, 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 learn, learn, learn. But, you know, at one point, you've got to start becoming your own girl, is what I think. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm not sure. The Hindus believe that it's necessary to have a guru. And I definitely think it helps. And I think teachers and community is a big part of this life. But, I mean, I guess it's unnecessary. I don't know.
I just think it's time.
It's up to the human being.
The way it was described, it was almost like we're at a point where we've evolved to the point to understand that, you know, to not see the worship site so much. Absolutely, do I admire, do I love Jesus Christ, do I love Buddha, do I love Krishna, all the stories of, now that we're reading that book with Damien, you know, the Hindu gods, it's a children's book, just on all the different Hindu gods. Talk about magical stories, you know, growing up with stuff like
that.
Yeah, that book is, it's for kids, and it's the most beautiful. Well, it's a kid's book, though, that's what I'm telling you. But it's the most beautiful, because, you know, when you think about it, you know, Deepak Chopra said this, you know, imagination is our most powerful force in this world, because literally, whatever you imagine you will become.
It's the source of it all.
Right. But it's how you use imagination.
Yeah.
You can use imagination for two things. Creativity, which will take you to the top of the Himalayas. Or you can use imagination for fear. And when you're using it for fear, you're blocking all of the energy. See, we're beings of energy, literally. And we get blocked through the perceptions that we have of what our reality looks like. And so the more you practice yoga, the more you practice meditation, the more you actually go within. And now there's more scientific data. The cool thing is that Deepak Chopra is working. He has a foundation. And the top universities in the world, Harvard, you know, there's several others on there. They're now studying all this, the benefits. They can actually tell when you die if you were a meditator or not. Isn't that crazy?
When you die?
Yeah, when you die. Like when they do an autopsy on you, they can see whether you meditated or not.
It's like the long-term effect of meditation.
Yes. And there's further, technology is advancing so rapidly that now there's things that we can actually measure through technology, like our genes, how we are affecting them through thoughts and through emotions and stuff like that. So he was very technology, scientific driven. But there's a lot of hope for humanity, you know, that there, all we see is the negativity, because, again, the negativity is what's going to sell news. And then also, you know, you need the darkness to come to the light so that it could be dissolved, you know. You have to. That's a process for everything, for every single thing. But when you start focusing on your own personal inner revolution, then really the outside doesn't matter, because you understand that the outside is actually a reflection of your inside. You know, it was so cool the way they said that the biggest, the highest level of intelligence for human is, you would never guess, one word. Highest level of intelligence.
I don't know.
Gratitude. Because when you're in gratitude, there's no way for the ego to come in and to take the place and to, it's impossible. So then you become best friends of the ego. There's never about dissolving your ego. You need it. You know, it's the personality that you play here. It's what it is. It's about, it's not even about transcending it. It's about embracing it.
Mm.
And embracing every little part of who you are so that you can evolve to higher levels. Because once stop that, it's like you're stagnating energy. And when you stagnate energy, which is all of our illnesses right now, which is what Deepak describes, you're creating inflammation. What is inflammation? Cancer. All the diseases that we have with all of our different body parts. That's what it is. It's stagnant energy. Yes, eventually all of us have to die of something, but we do know of the yogis that live to 163, 200. What do they do? that we don't do?
I don't constantly
meditation.
Discipline of meditation.
Right? Meditation and you know, nutrition, everything. It's just consciousness. It's almost like you're being being fed and being kept alive in consciousness through the energy of Source. It's a beautiful thing. And that's how the best public speakers are too. They're not being led by their ego. They're being led by a more deeper, a truth that they don't even understand. It's like a energy that will not, even if you didn't want to give that speech, you're pushed. You're just like, let's go, you know? So it's a beautiful thing that all of us can work out of. All of us, every single one of us. We just have been told, first of all, that one thing that Panache Desai really explained, which I thought was so crucial, was how we're conditioned to actually hide our emotions. You know, when they tell you when you're angry or you're sad, you know, people tell you, don't be angry, don't be sad. I don't want to see you crying, you little crybaby.
Don't you dare cry. Put your tears back. Stop.
Yeah, it's so sad. And instead of just saying, feel it. Feel the anger. Let it solve. It's energy that's clogged up. Energy and motion. Emotions, he explains, are energy and motion. That's it. So once you start being aware of it and letting it just dissolve itself, it literally will go away.
Watch anger, just see, oh, I'm mad, look at the anger, just witness it, let it roll on to the next emotion, just move on from that emotion too, and just keeps on going and going.
Yeah, and the crazy part is that we're always told not to feel that way. We're told, you better not be sad. Why are you sad? You better be grateful. Even I tell you this every day. Now I'm like upset about it because I always tell you, you better not be angry or sad. You better be grateful. Look at all these great things in life, you know? But now I feel like telling you, no, be sad, be angry, go ahead. I'll give you your time, because why not, you know, especially for men. I feel like it sucks because they're always cry, you know, why not? Fucking cry it out. Go sit on the corner and cry it out. Why suppress your emotions? Can you imagine what that does to your inner self?
It just like, it's like a giant clog in our artery. And then finally, when we do release it, we like have these bursts of anger, and that's where it gets awful, gets out of the hand, because you can't even control it, because you've been holding it back all this time, and you finally just let it go.
And look at our society now. We're about suppressing our emotions. We're about taking the pills. You know, we're about drinking the wine. That's how I suppress my emotions. You know, we're about...
Sexuality with religion, anyway, right?
Sexuality with religion? What do you mean?
Yeah, they're suppressing. You can't do any of that stuff.
The priest can marry or can have children themselves because that's the only way God is going to love you.
All right, this is generalizing. Now, of course, all priests aren't like that and stuff, but all right, so priests can't do any action with females or anything like that. It's in our blood, it's human, it's animal instinct to go out and, like, reproduce, make love, and do that stuff. And yet, we hold that back, and it's like, unhuman, it's unnatural, in a way. So, what do those priests resort to?
Doing it in secret with little kids?
Touching little boys, becoming pedophiles and stuff. It's a hideous cycle of suppression, in a way.
And it is a huge generalization because, of course,
no,
only the better ones. I think that there's people that are, I don't think it should be like some kind of law. What I think is that when you're born and you want to be a priest or you want to be a yogi or you want to be a pastor, whatever you want to be, right? You make your own rules as long as you're still serving God, you know? But I don't think God, like, thinks you're better because you're not having sex with a woman. I really don't think so. I mean, why? Because that's your calling and that's what you came to do? I mean, that's why this world is so messed up, because it's the suppression of emotions. That's what Panache says. You know, I picked up his book and he signed it and I kissed it for like 50 hours because his energy was just... when I saw him, I was just like, I cannot... Wow. But his book is called A 33-Day Journey into Passion, Purpose, and Love. So you read this, one of those things every single day. Again, enlightenment is a destructive process. Awakening to the truth of who you are, it's destructive. Why? Because you're undoing all the stuff that you knew from before. Because none of it is true. It's an illusion. A Course in Miracles, that's what it is. So I'm really into books that are about that, like just about undoing my conditioning, undoing everything. A Course in Miracles, exactly the same thing. That one, exactly the same thing. Not only am I into books about that, I'm also into activities that get you into that. And I don't even know why. Like, I always ask God, why'd you make me like this? You know, like, how did this happen? What is going on? You know, like, how did I even get here? And then you also decided to give me two little boys and here and my husband. And here I am trying to just figure it all out. And now I changed your thing, and he's very upset at me because he wants to talk about something very interesting. So that was my experience at the Chopra Center. It was beyond phenomenal. I try to tell my parents about it, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And let's talk about imposing your ideas onto someone else. I learned a lesson. Thank God you were present that day, and you told me, Mom, remember what they said. Because I was the girl that was writing a lot of notes at the class, and even Deepak said, or it was Sinaj who said, whoever's writing all these notes is just because, you know, when you get back home, they're going to ask you, what did you learn? And you're going to want to try to tell them everything, and you're not going to know what to tell them, but all you have to do is give them a hug. That's it. So read his book. It really talks about the truth of who we all are. It will give you so much peace of mind to help you really embark on the journey that you're here to live truly, instead of settling for mere scraps. You're a child of God, and that can take you there, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, don't settle, dude. I'm not going to settle. And my only enemy has been my mind in the past. So let's talk about this, you know? Well, you, Alexandra, brought up to me some crazy, crazy, crazy stuff that's happening. Because I'm over here on the Deepak Chopra meditation side, and you're over here on the, I'm going to find out what's going on in this world side.
All right. So definitely, there's a lot of stuff that has been happening this week. Crazy stuff, you know? And one of the most disturbing, I guess you could say. And the scariest part is that you said earlier how all the fear things is in the news and stuff, and they put it in our faces. Well, not this one. They're hiding this one from us, which is the.
Oh, it's not on the news?
No, they want to do the exact opposite. It's
who's they?
They is,
we don't even know. We can't tell them anything.
The oligarchy, the bunch of corporations that run everything.
Money,
I guess. I guess that's the root of it.
No, it's not even money, because all of us should be allowed for abundance. It's greed. It's greed.
Yeah.
Greed. So greed is doing this. Let's see what greed is doing lately.
All right. It is called Obama just passed the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and it's extremely. It's a deal between America and like a bunch of other countries. I think like Canada, Peru. I know even Peru, Vietnam. I'm not sure which other, but big countries, not just tiny ones. Anyways, they're making the. All right. So, I obviously don't know. They don't want us to show what's actually inside this deal and investment. It's called the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. And they're not even telling us, like, what's really inside it and what it involves. And the majority of the congressmen that passed this law, they don't even know what's inside it. None of them, majority of them didn't even read it. They just passed the law along.
Why did they pass it, though?
Because they're getting money. Because they're getting
okay.
In another website, I think it's on Guardian, shows how much money they're getting paid, but
to just pass it
from the corporation. Yep, they put it on fast track right away. They don't even care. They don't care what things.
But what does it say?
All right. So bottom line, what this could do, it is from. All right. There's this article on what is it called? This is the Guardian right now.
Yeah, theguardian.com.
All right. So this is what it says. It's called the Transatlantic Deal is a. Hold on. It is a. Frontal assault on democracy.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty big, right? And pretty much what it does is it would allow a secretive panel of corporate lawyers to overrule the will of parliament and destroy our legal protections. So these group of corporations and the lawyers of all of them, if they don't like a certain law and if it's making them less profit, they could overrule it and overturn it as any law that they want. It doesn't matter what the people voted or what the people want. As long as it's hurting them money, their law gets passed and it gets overturned. For an example, in Uruguay, there's this awesome video called Storm Cloud Gallery. That's a channel. I've talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an episode on telling exactly what it is. And they go like a lot more into detail and tells you a lot better, so I recommend looking it up. But anyways, for an example of what they've been doing, all right, so in Uruguay, cigarettes, there've been a lot of more warnings and like boxes on things telling how bad it is and the like how it's unhealthy for you and stuff like that. And so of course it's going to cut down a lot of people stop buying cigarettes, right? And it hurt the company, I think it's like Philip Morris cigarette company. So now they sued that government and for that law, and they got overturned. That's just a minor thing. Mm-hmm. They could do it for anything, environmental-wise, medical and food-wise, healthcare-wise, anything, exactly. So that's just pretty much taking – we have no more democracy anymore. Anything that they want, they could do.
But are certain corporations named or
– so much of big ones. All, you know, all the giant corporations.
But what were the positives of this? That's what I don't get. I know they thought it was about money, but how could this happen?
Just trade and investment.
What could we do to transcend this or to? I mean, you can call your local senator.
Yeah, that's the Storm's Cry gathering. That's what majority of the thing that you could do, it says, it's contact your straight representatives and especially spread the word, tell people more about it, get people informed of what they could do now, because like I said, this was not in the news at all. No one's hearing about this, no one knows what this is, you know, so it's bad. So might as well just get the word out and tell people what they could do now.
Interesting. Well, at least they're doing that part, and we do have some people we can talk to. Remember that organization that was started through Marianne Williamson's site? Remember we were on a few conference calls with them? I can't remember the name of another organization. We can definitely find out what's going on there. So if you're interested in finding out about this, you can definitely Google it. Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, which we're going to do more research because this is pretty new stuff, huh? And we're
going to... The law has been going on for a while. It's just they finally they climax that they're letting them pass it. It's been floating around for a while, but now they finally have the courage to actually pass it.
I have no idea. I hadn't heard about this. I hate even watching the news. You know how I am. I mean, ignorance is bliss, but is it really, right? You have to really kind of... You do have to be kind of involved because it's just... It can get very chaotic and... But again, I really do feel that, and your dad, you know, freaks out about all stuff. You know, he thinks things are just going down, and I don't judge him because, you know, that's what you're being fed throughout. But I feel like I'm going back to what Marianne Williamson says: if you don't have a true and strong spiritual practice, and maybe you're an atheist, but you have a true unknowing of who you are, I think a lot of these people just forget that, you know, we're not eternal as far as a body, you know. Anybody, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you're not going to live to be 500,000 years. That's just the bottom line. And I know that people just take care of their families, you know, to leave the lineage and their legacy and destiny, which, of course, I'm doing myself too. But, you know, when you're ready to croak, is what Abraham Hicks calls it, when you're ready to die, you're on your deathbed, because it's going to happen eventually. I don't care who you are, unless you show me someone who's lived for a zillion years, when you're ready to die on that deathbed, how are you going to feel about yourself? You know, what did you contribute to this world? What, you just helped your family get richer to make sure that they're not unhappy and that they experience the best of life? You know what's that?
All right, I forgot what tribe it is or something like that, but there's something, it's called a special name or something, but I forgot what. But every day they wake up, I mean, they ask themselves, today's the day to die. And they accept themselves, and they feel like that their life and everything that they put out and gave back to the universe is worth it. Is they did good, and they know that if today is the day I die, I'll be happy with what I did in this world.
Yeah, and there's a respect. It's like the movie Avatar. You know, when the guy came in, Zuli, or what was his name? From the human world, and he took on the avatar body, and he met the girl, which I forgot her name. What was her name?
I forget her name.
Yeah, I've watched this movie at least 83 times, okay? So she says, you know, when he's trying to kill that animal that's going to kill him in beautiful, and where Gaia is fully formed around him, and he sees, she says, you know, what he says, you're a kid. What he says, you stupid.
You're a baby.
You're a baby.
Or something like that.
Yeah, like you're so immature. You don't understand what it is. This is respect everything around you. And I think when, you know, most of us, what we realize, see, the human thing about humans is that, and I don't know about animals, but animals don't know or don't remember or know that they're going to die. Humans do, you know. We have this consciousness that tells us we're going to die. So there's this fear, although we are very good at tucking it in the back of our heads, you know, or that people around us are going to die and all this stuff, right? So the problem is there where you're suffocating that feeling. First of all, if you know you're going to die, then shouldn't you live every moment, like, at peace, doing great things for others and not losing it? And I'm not telling you that I don't lose it every single or any day or whatever, but I know where my boundaries lie now, and I know what's right and wrong, you know? Hurting other people, karma. That was a great thing about how Deepak Chopra explained our cycle, which is, you explained a little bit more detailed. But the way he said it was, there's karma, memory, and desire. Remember you said it a little bit deeper?
Yeah. Do you want me to look it up?
While I explain it. The way Deepak explained it was, there's karma, which is not bad or good. Karma are just the decisions and the choices you make every single day. From that, memory is built. You know, you're reflecting on your past experience, blah, 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 which then creates your desires. And then it's a cycle that keeps going back and forth. So then your desires then will create choices, which is karma. And then your choices will then create more memory, which it's a cycle that just keeps going. And if you believe in reincarnation, then it does... It comes from way back, karmic sessions, but that has nothing to do with your actual ability to awaken, you know? If for some reason even you were brought to this podcast today, there's something inside of you that's, you know, yelling out for whatever we are talking about. So there's no, again, going back, there's not like, don't ignore the signs and don't ignore the coincidences. If you're listening to a podcast, if you watched this thing on Facebook that came up, a quote, it's the universe talking to you all the time, because it's trying to say, this is what Panache said, you know, you guys think that you're chasing the sacredness, the divinity, God, but in reality, this sacredness has always been chasing you, because again, you will go from what you are to nothing when you're ready to let go of this body. And I guess because I've been struck with that without actually losing someone, but almost lost someone that I really loved, I've been more intrigued with this kind of stuff, you know? What did you find out about that?
All right. So the process of karma. First, it's karma, and karma equals your mind, and mind equals your thoughts. Then your thoughts equal your decisions. Your decisions equal your actions. Your actions equal your consequence, and the consequence equals your karma.
And where is that from?
I learned it from magic.me, the Jason Love, when he taught it.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. So we don't have, there's not like this mystery about being a human, you know, it just is what it is. It's kind of like whatever you believe is who you are in your own. So whatever fits you and whatever floats your boat, I guess, then do it. You don't have to listen to anything we're saying, but you should do something, and you should, you know, seek to find inner peace, because if you don't, you're literally polluting the earth. You're a cancer. Think about the earth being this huge organism, just the way we are.
Damn.
Yeah, the earth is that. Can you imagine? Like, the earth is that. And all of us are little, not little as far as, I'm talking about little as far as body volume, not little as far as power.
Yeah.
So we are these living on this temporary home, and are you appreciating it? Because I love what Panache said, that, you know, incarnating or being a human is the best gift that we could ever have. Yet we complain every freaking day. And then our story's done. We dance the song of death to the song of death, and then it's over. I don't want to be that person with any regrets, you know. I want to go all balls out. I don't know about you.
Balls out, yes, indeed.
I think we are going to go all balls out here very soon. It's kind of crazy.
Wow. It just came so fast. It's insane how...
I don't even know what to say about this. I just don't. I have... These are the pre-adventure... I guess the pre-adventure words.
Are we going to try to do a podcast over there?
We're going to try to do a podcast over there. We're going to embark on a journey
if,
of...
If not, this will be your last one for 2 weeks? Two weeks?
I don't want to have any rules, and while I'm over there, I don't want to have to worry about anything. And we probably will not have a podcast for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah. And the reason we're not going to have a podcast is we're going to go on our own adventure, on our own... It's not even an adventure. It's a...
Yeah, it's an adventure.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what it is. Uncertainty is the key of everything, but it's a dream come true. Every year we do presentations, each four of us. We just started this 2 years ago.
Yeah, we did. This is our second time.
Okay, my bad. So we do these presentations, and the kids are allowed to work on it. Alex and I, my husband and I, are allowed to work on it, and we pick one place where we can actually visit in the summer. You know, last year, Alexander did an amazing, top of the line. I hate you for that, but it wasn't it a great experience?
Of course, I picked Costa Rica, and of course we won because you know I was giving the presentation. And you know what? We did another one this year, and I won again. I picked Bali, but I didn't want. I gave it.
But you won out of a weird way because they didn't.
I won because my presentation skills are the best.
And you're stuck.
No, my... All right, that's why I won again, Mom.
And I came out in a...
Dead and jealous.
I had, like... I wanted to go to India, and I did the... I did, like, a whole thing. I had, like, a thing on my head. I had music. I had candles. And they didn't pick me. I was so sad. So sad.
Stop. All right. Be grateful. Look where we're going now. So how do we end up choosing my dad's one, then? If I originally won.
You voted for him. That's how.
Oh, I guess, yeah. So my dad ended up winning. And his travel destination was Peru.
But it wasn't going to be... The reason he won was because it wasn't just going to be like 7 days in Peru, you know? Like mine was going to be like 10 days... Or no, it was like 8 days in India or something. His was like... Oh, we're going to go to Peru for 24 days, and we're going to... He did say that.
The actual, like, things that in itinerary that he picked, we didn't end up doing. It was a kind of false. It was a false impression, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was wrong there, but we're still going there. And so we picked an awesome... We could have picked a more perfect itinerary, I think.
So 16 days in beautiful Peru, traveling through Lima... Machu Picchu, Aguascalientes, Cusco, Tos, ending up in the middle of the Amazon jungle. And in the middle of the Amazon jungle, we'll be able to study with some pretty cool shamans.
Throughout the whole thing, we'll be doing some practices too. Over the third day is before we go to Machu Picchu, correct?
Yes.
I don't know exactly, but the second day we'll be working with plant medicine Huachuma, also known as San Pedro. And this is not just about the medicines. It's just about embracing all of the culture, everything Peru has to offer, you know? But, all right, so the second, before we head to Machu Picchu, we'll be in a mountain house with the plant medicine in the San Pedro shaman. She's a female, so I don't know if there's a word for female shamans. I don't know exactly.
That's a good question.
I feel like there is, but I don't know. But anyway, San Pedro, that's the... When the Spanish came and they gave it that name, because they definitely were not going to divide the indigenous culture from their sacred medicine. So they adopted it and added the Christian background with it, naming it San Pedro. And San Pedro is a saint that holds the keys to heaven. So, you know, that's pretty, it's pretty deep right there, just the name itself.
The whole experience is just incredibly deep. And, you know, thankfully it was all arranged through these awesome post tours. I'm going to give them already a plug because I know that they're going to be amazing, and everything was, the way they've treated us already has been amazing. And
No, I'm sorry.
I just think, I don't even know. This is our pre-Geronimo jump here, and it just feels so overwhelming. There's a huge feeling of gratitude in my heart. Huge feeling of gratitude of the ability to manifest our dreams. And I'm not going to tell you, like, people always say, like, oh, you have to work your ass off and do all this. You have to be just conscious. And when you're conscious, business comes your way, money comes your way, and you learn to transcend any challenge, and that's what happens. You know, when you are in the divinity of grace, when you are connected to source, when you are grateful, when you are just like, God, you lead me to the places where I thought I would never be, and I humbly accept your gift, you know? It's very also challenging, especially as you're growing your, you know, one of the hardest things for people is not just attracting things, it's allowing for them to happen in their life. And as you grow and evolve and evolve, then, you know, there's certain, like, almost barriers that stop you. It's called self-sabotage, you know? During this whole trip, even though we booked and everything, I was still worried. I was worried about this. I was worried about that. We're going to do this. What about this? What about that? And it takes the fun from it, you know? It almost takes the ability to just go in a peaceful way. And it's hard, especially when you're involved with your business. Although, you know, thankfully my husband has an incredible, you know, team here, and we're growing our businesses elsewhere in other states, but we can handle it. But there's always, I'm telling you, we always paint everybody sees the beautiful picture of just, oh, they're going to Peru, blah, blah, blah. But they don't see the struggle that happened to get there, whether it was in the mind, which that's where it was for me mostly, not physical really. And none of us really have physical struggles, it's in the mind. So it's a journey, and it's a journey that I'm glad to take now, because I think it's a courageous journey where you're going to really face yourself. And more importantly, like for you, Sander, and for your brother and your dad, you two especially, because you're so young to experience something like this. You know, my brother said something really funny today. I was telling him, you know how my brother is. Okay, my brother, his name is Jesus, and he is the funniest freaking guy in the world, super sexy too, and just dresses the best in the world, by the way. So he's just very good looking and also funny, which is hard to find, you know. He's a good cat. He's single. He's single. If anybody's available, he's single.
Right.
And he has a great job, super intelligent, amazing car. Like, this guy's got it all. Anybody, just message me if you guys want to date my brother. He's single by choice, by the way. Actually, no, he met someone.
All right, Mom. I'm just kidding. Fantastic. Good for him.
So he told me something funny. Because I told my sisters this, and I said, you know, I love the fact that, you know, that our kids get to travel, and they get to travel the world. I'm so grateful for that, you know, because they get really, that's the best personal investment you could ever make in your life. It expands your mind to the, I can't even explain it to you. You don't. It's something that's not measurable, but yet you'll see the fruits of it. And, you know, traveling and understanding other cultures and just being submerged in them is beautiful. So my brother was like, yeah, I guess it's a little step ahead when we used to go to Disneyland. And by the way, we never got allowed to buy anything in there because we had spent all of our money in the freaking tickets. And my mom used to bring these tortas, which are, for people that don't know Spanish, are like sandwiches. They're amazing Mexican sandwiches, the tortas. And they used to put them in the cooler. And our most amazing time was going out to the parking lot to eat them because they tasted so good. And now you guys are talking about international travel and this and that. So I was just really struck. I was just like, that is so true. By the way, those tortas were the bomb. Like, seriously, there's no better tortas than my mom's. But it's really humbling. It's really, really humbling to see that the effort and the struggle and the sacrifice that my parents made, look how it's paying off in dividends. And I'm not telling you I make sacrifices for you, because I don't. You know, I pretty much rely on working on myself first, and then the rest will fall into place, which hopefully you'll fall into place. But it's about gratitude, don't you think?
We were beyond blessed. I'm so, it's like, we're so, me and my brother, we knew the best, I've heard some of the best karma you could be born into is, the best karma you could have is being born into a great family. That's 100% true, because it's really indescribable. You can't really put in words how grateful we are, and just, we really have, there's nothing that we could, it's just, I don't know.
Beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And that's what gratitude does to you. You know, there was another, somebody else posted on Facebook about how now that she's so grateful, she's getting all these job offers. And I told her, you know, gratitude will take you beyond your wildest imagination. Enjoy it, you know? And if most of us could really live from that state of being, from that energy point, from that focus point of our soul, then I think we could really manifest anything that we wanted in this world. So keep your peace, guys. I mean, whenever you're going through the hardest stuff, and everybody goes through it, don't think that what you see on Facebook is all a walk in the park. We post only what makes us feel happy. We don't post the struggles and the challenges. And there's a lot of books out there that will teach you and show you, you know, the struggles that people have to go through to eventually find their place. And even when they do find their place, it's still a journey. With a view of consciousness, it's still a journey. So just accept it and live it.
I don't. Yeah.
Right on, dude. So, right. So.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank you, Ali. I don't even know what to say right now. I'm overwhelmed. And
extremely overwhelmed as well. We have quite the journey ahead of us.
Quite the journey. And I'm going to be happy to just come back and listen to this podcast to see if there's a difference. And we're very excited and blessed to be used as a tool, of source, of universe, of God to experience this and to be able to hopefully, you know, whatever benefit happens in me, may it benefit the entire world. That's all I got to say.
Same.
Amen, baby Jesus. We love you all so much, whoever you all are. And we can't wait. We can't wait to come back and just share all of our journey. Thank you so much for listening every single week and for connecting with us. May you always, 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 always accomplish all of your dreams, because when you do that, not only do you free yourself, but you free others. So take care of you first, boo-boo.
Okay. All right. I love everyone. Thank you, guys. See you guys in approximately 2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks. Talk to you all soon. Hasta luego. Adios.
Goodbye.
You don't have Akiros? We're going to go out with an Akiros. Let's go out with an Akiros before we say adios. Here we go. Thank you.